Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Been trying to use a new system to take better pictures in the studio. I got this camera from a company, and the first thing they want to know before they'll even let me get on the air is who all my friends are, what groups do I belong to, and it wants to know all your names. I declined. So I'm going to see if I can possibly use this thing without ruining the privacy of everyone I know, but it won't be used today. So I apologize for that, and that's why I'm a little late getting on the air. This is Mark Levine reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C., and the craziness just keeps happening. I mean, just keeps happening. Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York City, former candidate for president, former special, former U.S. attorney, someone who should know his way around the law, has just taken on a new client. His client is Donald Trump, who fired his prior lawyers. What we find with Donald Trump's lawyers is generally each of them needs a lawyer. So I don't know when Rudy Giuliani will be getting his own lawyer. We all know what happened to his first lawyer, Michael Cohen, who has been raided by the FBI and is now being prosecuted criminally. Seems like everything Donald Trump touches turns to dross, turns to a sticky, disgusting mess. Even people who used to have respected positions of government, when they touch Donald Trump, it seems to all go to heck. And, Rudy Giuliani, I guess, is getting back because he's decided to finger his own client. Yesterday on the Hannity Show, maybe Rudy did not know the cameras were on. Maybe he thought he was just talking to his good friend, Sean Hannity, the, special scapegoat spokesman for the president, the guy who – scapegoat's the wrong word – the guy who basically is the president's media mouthpiece. I mean, Sean Hannity, who shares Donald Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen. I guess Rudy Giuliani thought it was a safe space, but then why did he blurt out – that, guess what? Donald Trump lied. Okay, no real surprise. It happens all the time. But he lied specifically about the $130,000 payment to the porn star that he was having sex with just days after his wife gave birth to their son, Barron. He lied specifically. We're going to play some of that in this broadcast then. But he lied specifically because he claimed that he didn't know anything about the payment. Well, if he didn't know anything about the payment, then why did he pay back his attorney, Michael Cohen, $130,000 to pay off Stormy Daniels? It gets curiouser and curiouser. Plus, as someone who knows campaign finance law, having run for Congress myself, I can tell you that any payments to help a campaign have to be disclosed, whether they're from you or from someone else. If they're from Michael Cohen, then not only would they fail to be disclosed, but also, Cohen paid way in excess of the contribution limits for a candidate for president of the United States. But if, as appears to be here, Donald Trump paid for them himself, that has to be disclosed. And there's no campaign limit, but there is a disclosure limit. And these are pretty severe violations of election law. Plus, of course, there's the fact that, he cheated on his third wife right after she gave birth to her son. Now, I guess some would say there's no real sympathy for Melania. After all, he cheated on his first two wives. Why should she have expected anything different? And in fact, I've actually gotten some discussions with friends of mine who, you know, feel sorry for Melania. And I'm not saying I have no sympathy for her, but I do think she knew what she got when she married the Donald. In any case, it's fascinating to me how many people are defending him. The same evangelicals that made a terrible fit that Bill Clinton was cheating on his wife, I guess because they cared about Hillary Clinton, that was the reason they made such a big fit, they're just fine with their president having slept with innumerable women out of marriage, 19, 20, it's unclear how many, having admitted on tape to sexually assaulting at least one of them. He said he moved on her like a B word that I don't know if I should say on the air. That's our president. While also admitting that this is something he regularly does. He's got his whole scheme going. He uses Tic Tacs. I mean, we heard all this before he was elected president. So clearly he didn't want a couple weeks before the election to let the American people know that he had done it with a porn star just a few weeks after his child had been born. If you want to know the real victim, of course, it's his son, Barron. In any case, now, Trump denied making the payment. Michael Cohen denied being reimbursed for the payment. But now Giuliani says that Trump did reimburse Cohen for the payment. Now, Cohen said he wasn't reimbursed directly or indirectly. Giuliani says he was reimbursed indirectly, namely by paying his retainer, the lawyer's retainer. But that's weird, too, because as a trial lawyer, I can tell you that you're paid differently, whether it's for your work, that would be your retainer, and whether it's for a client account. For example, if a client of mine were paying off a settlement of, say, I don't know, $130,000, and were paying me, let's say, $10,000 to get the settlement done, the $130,000 would come out of a client trust account of client money that I don't really touch. The client gives it to me, I hold it, but then I would pay it to the person who's receiving the settlement. Whereas the retainer would be paid directly to me, and I'd have to report it on my income tax return. So it all gets curiouser and curiouser. We do not know exactly what happened still. We don't know when Trump knew about the payment. And Michael Avenatti, the attorney for Stormy Daniels, is, of course, very, very happy that all this is coming out. And it's interesting to me that Trump supporters will say nothing about it. I mean, look, I can understand if people don't care what a man's sex life is. That's in a position that many of us took in the Clinton years. You know, it's just none of our business. Okay, you can take that position. Of course, some of what Trump's accused of is non-consensual. That's kind of a different position from consensual sex. But all right, Stormy Daniels, apparently it was consensual. She didn't like it very much, but she didn't say no. Let's say you're willing to accept that. The real question is, where are the evangelicals? Where's the community that's been going around telling everybody exactly how to live their sex life? The evangelical community is not just against abortions. Most of them are against birth control, too. They don't want anyone having sex whatsoever except for procreative reasons, right? You can't have sex outside of marriage. It's consenting adults. That's why they're against birth control, because they want people to be punished with pregnancy, and then they don't want people to get out of that punishment. They really, really want poor teenage girls to have kids, I guess. But furthermore, they don't support any non-procreative sex even in marriage, right? If they are against birth control, it's a very, very strict standard. Okay, that's their moral standard. It's not my moral standard. It's their moral standard. Why do they support this president so much? Why do they love him so much? Why do they hate President Obama so much, who no one doubts was a good, is and is a good family man and a good father? What do evangelicals believe in anyway? What do they care about? They're fine if their president violates all of their principles, just so long as he enforces their principles on others, right? It's okay if the president has sex outside of marriage, just so long as they can still punish other people for having sex outside of marriage. It's okay if the president does it with a porn star, just so long as they can still ban pornography in state after state after state. How does that make any sense? I guess there's an exemption in the Bible for the powerful. I guess Jesus said, hey, you know what? The meek, screw you. The rich man, we're going to open that needle so wide that a camel and a whole caravan can go through. We're going to have prosperity gospel. We're going to preach really against Jesus of Nazareth. Who cares what he thought? Our new Christianity is that the powerful get whatever they want, and everyone else has to undergo our own Taliban-like morality. So the next time some evangelical tells you they support Donald Trump, all you have to do is say, okay, I get it. I get it. You just don't like Jesus very much. You're not really a Christian. But sure, you can like the president. Do you condemn any of the behavior that you condemn all the time with others? It's the hypocrisy is astounding. Has there been a single evangelical leader in the United States of America to say that having sex with a porn star right after your wife gives birth to a kid is wrong? And then to lie about it is even more wrong? Has anyone said that? Again, if you say that sex between consenting adults is none of our business, that's a fine liberal position, but then can you really tell other people what to do with their own bodies? Who to have sex with, who not to have sex with, whether or not to have an abortion, whether or not to use birth control? I mean, are you really going to keep attacking the gay couple that's been together for 50 years while praising this man? Where do evangelicals have any principles whatsoever? Any? Well, I mean, okay, so he put Neil Gorsuch on the court, which means that all kinds of poor people will be forced against their will to be punished for sex outside of marriage. And so it's okay if our president isn't. I'm just trying to understand the morality, because I don't think there is any. None whatsoever. 888-488-MARK if you want to call in. 888-488-6275. We're right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I don't know whether Rudy Giuliani was helping his client very much, the president of the United States, last night. It was pretty shocking. Now, Rudy, I'm sure, has not had a real client in some time. I haven't really either. It's been a long time since I regularly practiced law, more than 10 years. Giuliani, I'm sure, has been longer, right? I mean, he hasn't been mayor of New York for, what, 10 years? Since September 11th, I don't really know. And then before then, he was a U.S. attorney, which is basically a prosecutor. And prosecutors, well, their client is the people of the state of New York. They're not an individual client. And so prosecutors are actually very different from other lawyers in that they have different responsibilities. Ordinary lawyers, folks like me and others, we have to keep things attorney-client privileged. And I was astonished that Rudy Giuliani told Sean Hannity. Well, let's play the clip. Let's hear what he said.
That money was not campaign money. Sorry, I'm giving you a fact now that you don't know. It's not campaign money. No campaign finance violation. So
they funneled it through the law firm.
Funneled through the law firm, and the president repaid it.
Oh, I didn't know he did.
Oops. Sean Hannity, I didn't know. Yeah, none of us knew. Did you know that you were disclosing something that none of us knew? Did you know, Rudy Giuliani, what your client had said just a month ago? Let's play what Trump said on the airplane.
Did you know about the $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels? Then why did Michael Cohen make it if there was no future allegations?
Well, you have to ask Michael's my attorney, and you'll have to ask Michael.
Do you know where he got the money to make that payment?
No, I don't know.
Did you ever set up a fund of money to
make that payment?
So it's kind of hard to hear because he's on an airplane. But clearly they say, did you know about the payment to Stormy Daniels? He says, no. And she says, well, why did Michael Cohen make it? He said, you'll have to ask Michael Cohen. He's my attorney. And she said, well, where did Michael Cohen get it? And he said, you'll have to ask him. And then she said, you set up a pot of funds for Michael Cohen to regularly pay off people like this? And then the president didn't answer that question. He kind of walked away. What did the president know, and when did he know it? Did he know about this payment? Does he sleep with so many women that he has a regular pot of money set available for Michael Cohen to spend as he wishes? And here's the question. Given that apparently this dalliance with Stormy Daniels occurred 11 years ago, how old's his son? 11? That's how we know. It's right after the birth of his son. Why pay her 2 to 3 weeks before an election, right? If this is in the ordinary course, yeah, I pay off all the people I sleep with, porn stars, hookers, the ones I pay to urinate on the Russians, allegedly, the ones that, have accused me of sexual harassment, the ones I grab them by their private parts. I just pay them all off. That's just what I do. I grab women. I assault them. I pay them off. Why did it take 10 years to pay off Stormy Daniels? Why pay 3 weeks before a campaign? Whatever you think of the payoff, it is a clear attempt to bury a story ahead of a campaign. We know that another Playmate model, one that he had a long-term relationship with many, many times, not just once, that with her, he simply paid the Inquirer, or the Inquirer paid her to shelve the story. Now, was the Inquirer reimbursed by Donald Trump? That's another good question to ask. Michael Avenatti, I could write your deposition for you. But that was also just in advance of the election. See, anything you do to help yourself get elected is a campaign expenditure, and it should have been disclosed. So Rudy Giuliani obviously doesn't understand what he's talking about with regard to the law. Got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about more legal trouble with the President of the United States. 888-488-MARK.
Now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the deeper and deeper legal trouble that the president finds himself in. It's hard sometimes when you descend really, really, really deep underwater to remember what the sunshine looks like. Sometimes you descend from, 100 feet under the water to 200 feet under the water, and you think there's not much difference, even though you're twice as far down. I guess I feel that way about Donald Trump. Can you imagine just for a second that Barack Obama had a dalliance with a porn star? Try to imagine Bill Clinton giving secrets to the Russians in the Oval Office while inviting the Russian press and not allowing the American press in the room. Just let that wander past you for a bit. Or having lawyers have their own lawyers because the lawyers themselves are under federal investigation along with campaign managers, virtually everyone in his cabinet, it gets to the point where the fact that Scott Pruitt simply wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars is not seen as that big a deal. Let us never normalize this. I'm going to talk the next half hour about what the special prosecutor Robert Mueller's options are. I want to encourage you to call in 888-48-MARK, 888-486-2675. But first, we've got Julian, line three, my constituent from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome back in town, Julian.
Yeah, hi, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all right. What are your thoughts?
Now, look, I wanted to just make one comment about the attorney-client privilege.
Okay.
And then I've got a little piece of news that I think has just been disclosed while you were on air, and maybe your producer's already told you.
Yes, he has.
But my remarks on the attorney-client privilege are that, you know, I've been a lawyer for 50 years, and it's incredibly important to know what attorney-client privilege is and what its limits are. But one heck of a lot of lawyers have no idea what it actually means. Now, I just wanted to say that because it is absolute, it is very limited when it applies. First of all, there's a crime fraud exception.
Right. That's right. You cannot use your attorney to commit a crime. That's right. You cannot. I'm just telling people what it is. Generally, what you tell your attorney is privileged, but you cannot use your attorney to commit a crime or to commit fraud or to conspire with your attorney to commit a crime or fraud. And that's the crime fraud exception. Go ahead, Julian.
Secondly, you've got to be acting as an attorney and not as a kind of business advisor or bagman.
That's true as well. And what's interesting about that is that I don't know whether Trump is just stupid or uninformed or both, but in trying to separate himself from Michael Cohen, once he knows that Michael Cohen is under severe criminal legal liability, and the information that I think you told me about, Julian, which my producer passed to me, that there's now there was a wiretap on Michael Cohen's phone, which is incredibly rare and hard to get. You have to prove basically you have to have probable cause to believe the lawyer is in the process of committing felonies, not even just misdemeanors. But in order to separate himself from Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's like, he handled a few things for me, but not that much. He's mostly a businessman. He's mostly a businessman. Yeah. He didn't do that much legal work for me. That may sound good on Fox News. That may sound good to the Trumpists who, you know, believe every word he says. But for a lawyer, he just implicated himself even deeper because he's saying, I didn't use Michael Cohen as a lawyer. Then there's no privilege. That's exactly right.
The other thing I just wanted to tell you was that if a lawyer goes on television like Giuliani does and talks about the whole thing to Hannity on Fox News, he's probably waived the privilege.
That's exactly right. That's another point. That's right. Your attorney-client privilege is between you and your attorney. Once you share it with a non-attorney, in this case with the entire public, you know when they say anything that you say can and will be used against you in a court of law, that we don't just those aren't just words for, you know, police movies. The Miranda warning is not just something that you see on CSI. It's actually true. It's why most lawyers don't talk about their clients' cases, other than wave their hands a bit and say, you know, we're going to work hard and my client's innocent. But they don't give details. You save that for the case. And so, like I said, his legal troubles are getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's like smart people won't represent Donald, and I understand that, but that makes it really tough to get legal help.
I just wanted to say one other thing, and I just saw the strap on MSNBC, and that is that Giuliani has said on TV that Trump fired Comey because Comey would not give him an assurance that Trump was not a target of the FBI investigation.
So, in other words, he just said, my client committed obstruction of justice. Would you like to impeach him? Great lawyer. Great lawyer. You know, I don't think I would pay Giuliani's bills. Of course, Trump probably doesn't pay anybody.
But he
bills.
Hasn't really been a lawyer. He's got a law firm, but he hasn't really been a lawyer for 20 years.
Well, that's my point, right? I mean, he was
SafeLock or whatever it is, LifeLock.
He was a mayor. he was a prosecutor. I actually don't even know if Giuliani was in private practice before he started as a prosecutor. But you have very.
Well, he does have a law. He does have a law firm. I can't remember the name of it, but I knew somebody who was actually a crony of his who was actually a partner in that law firm.
Well, I'm going to look him up in the break because I have a feeling that I practiced law as a private lawyer longer than Rudy Giuliani. but at the end of the day, this is pretty basic. You don't disclose your client's secrets, particularly not when they do them legal damage. I would think that doing that may be malpractice, actually. I don't know. Some people are saying he's too clever. It's his actually he knew it was going to come out anyway, so he wanted to do something that lawyers call draw the sting. In other words, we will put out our own unflattering information before the public finds out. Seemed awfully early. I mean, we don't even know that Avenatti, the attorney for Stormy Daniels, is going to be able to get a deposition. He's going to get Donald Trump to testify under oath. I'll tell you this, though, Julian. I think he should. We have United States Supreme Court precedent, actually precedent that I probably disagreed with when it came out, in the Paula Jones matter, ruling 9-0 that you could sue a president in a private capacity with a private affair. And they ruled 9-0 that that case could go forward. And that's how they got Bill Clinton's deposition. Seems to me that Avenatti, under the same rule, could get Donald Trump's private deposition, and then he'll lie under oath because, frankly, he's told so many lies. When you've told this many lies, you don't know what the truth is. He won't be able to help but lie. So they're like, it's a perjury trap. Asking Donald Trump to testify under oath is a perjury trap. Everybody knows he's going to lie. He's going to end up committing a felony. And that's what his supporters are saying, Julian. That's what his supporters are saying. When you say something's a perjury trap, what you're saying is, I know he's going to lie. By all means, don't make him testify. Well, here's an idea. Advise your client to tell the truth. It's maybe a new word, T-R-U-T-H. It's not one he knows. But supposedly, he can be taught. I've always told all my clients to tell the truth. Yes, a perjury trap is set when you know someone's going to lie. One of the things that I found most amazing, Julian, I'm sure you read this, is that Robert Mueller asked the president to testify. He refused. His lawyers then said, you know, give us a list of topics you're going to testify about. So Mueller disclosed a list of topics to his lawyers. That list has never been leaked because Robert Mueller's entire special prosecutor job has had zero leaks. Really, an amazing job. However, Donald Trump's lawyers then took those subject matter and wrote up 49 questions. The ones that Trump say go too far were written by his own lawyers, and then his own lawyers leaked it to the press. The heart of it is, God, I wish every time I was defending a client in a deposition, I had a list of all the questions the opposing attorney was going to ask. Boy, would my job be easy, right? You say yes to that. Yeah. You say no to that. On this one, you let me object. On this one, you talk about this, but maybe you don't want to talk about that. You know, it's really, really easy when you have a witness on the stand. If only convicted mass murderers had the right to know all the questions being asked them on the stand before they were asked. They don't have that right. We can execute someone without letting them know what the questions are in advance. But Donald Trump apparently gets this privilege, and he still won't answer the questions because he knows he's not only won't tell the truth, I think he's unable to tell the truth because I don't think he knows what truth is. I really don't. Donald Trump's truth is whatever helps Donald Trump is the truth. But most of us don't think
actually,
that way.
Mark, you know, when I was in practice, I would just advise my clients to keep their mouths shut.
Well, what I advised my clients was if they were in a deposition, I would say, don't answer a question that's not asked, right? Answer the question. Keep it as short as you can while still answering truthfully. But I always said, tell the truth. You must tell the truth. Obviously,
otherwise, it's suborning perjury.
Yeah, that's right. But obviously, if they ask you about A, don't talk about B. You're not required to. If they ask about A, answer A, keep your answers as short as possible, and tell the truth. And apparently Donald Trump doesn't heed that advice, which may be why he's lost so many lawyers, why so many have quit, and why so many won't take his case. Even conservative lawyers are afraid of taking his case, and, you know, I understand why. So thanks for calling in, Julian. I appreciate it. I hope you're back in Alexandria to stay. I don't think you are, but we could talk about that offline. Thanks again for calling in. Folks, if you want to join in the conversation, It's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. When we come back, we'll talk about Mueller's options after this.
Never confuse Mark Levin with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Got about 8 minutes left. Talking about the president's deeper and deeper legal troubles. Thank you to Julian who called in. Had a nice discussion about attorney-client privilege and all the ways Rudy Giuliani basically just fingered his client publicly. Yikes. I went to look, because it's kind of what I expected. Rudy Giuliani went right from law school to being a clerk for a judge to being as a prosecutor for 20 years or so. As a prosecutor, your client is the state, and prosecutors are very different from private lawyers. You have actually certain obligations to tell certain things or to keep quiet about certain things. It's a different kind of lawyer. There really isn't that much attorney-client privilege with a prosecutor. You're sort of keeping the state's secrets. It's a different kind of thing. It's very different from representing an individual. So I looked it up, and after Rudy Giuliani was a prosecutor, he was, of course, mayor of New York. He ran for president. Really, he didn't start into private practice until right after the 2008 election, so a little under 10 years ago, which means I guess I practiced law for private clients longer than Rudy Giuliani did. I'm not trying to brag, but I guess what I'm saying is I don't know that Giuliani knows how to represent a client, particularly a client like the President of the United States. I think he'd be a little more careful with attorney-client privilege, but what the heck. Thanks, Rudy. Keep telling us things. Keep talking on Sean Hannity's show. It's funny because when Sean Hannity is surprised, he's like, oh, I didn't know that Trump repaid him. To me, that was a signal from Sean Hannity saying, hey, Giuliani, are you sure you want to tell all these details about your client? Poor Sean Hannity. It's so difficult to defend Donald Trump consistently when Trump is completely inconsistent. Yes, he was right when he said 2 plus 2 is 5, and he was right when he said 2 plus 2 is 7. They're both accurate. 2 plus 2 is both 5 and 7. Yeah. Anyway, Trump is getting more and more, he's getting deeper in trouble with Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller. And you got to give the Special Prosecutor credit. The fact that we know so little about what he's doing tells you how good this special prosecutor is, how professional he is. God, I wish Jim Comey had kept his investigation of Hillary Clinton as secret as Robert Mueller is keeping his investigation. But clearly he's on the ball. He's finding example after example after example of collusion with the Russians. We've got Paul Manafort under indictment. We've got Papadopoulos pled guilty. Michael Flynn pled guilty. He's going after Trump's lawyers, Michael Cohen. Clearly, he's got stuff on Jared. He's already asked Jared for an interview, Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law. No doubt Ivanka and Don Jr., I assume, will be next in line. And then we're going to get to the president of the United States. The last person that you ask to testify is usually the top dog in a mafia conspiracy, or in this case, the highest ranking official, which is the President of the United States. Now, Donald Trump has said, I don't want to testify. Sometimes he says he does, and then he says he doesn't, and then he doesn't talk about it, and, well, he's very inconsistent. Clearly, his lawyers don't want him to testify. They say it's a perjury trap. Now, what's a perjury trap? A perjury trap is they're going to ask my client some questions, and my client's going to lie, and that will be perjury, and that'll be a felony, and then he'll go to jail for a number of years. It's not fair. How dare you ask my client questions to which we all know he's going to lie to? Well, there's two ways out of the perjury trap. One way is, hey, tell the truth. I don't think they're considering that option. It's just kind of funny to announce that that actually is an option. That's actually what Hillary Clinton did when she was questioned by the FBI. She told the truth, and then they couldn't prosecute. But they're not considering that option. The other option, of course, well, actually, there's three for the president, two for ordinary mortals. For ordinary mortals, we can tell the truth, or we can plead the fifth. We can get our Constitution We can dial up the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution, which says that you have the right not to incriminate yourself. And the president can do that. Every citizen has the right. The president of the United States can say, I refuse to answer the questions because if I answer the questions, it will prove that I've committed a crime. And I don't want to lie. That would be perjury. I don't want to tell the truth because then you know that I've committed treason or some other felony. So I simply decline to testify on the grounds that it might incriminate me. And everyone seems to know when you plead the Fifth, it's usually because you're guilty. But that's okay. Our Constitution protects the right of everyone not to incriminate themselves. Interestingly, in a civil case, if you plead the Fifth, it is used against you in a court of law. Did you know that? If you plead the Fifth in a criminal case, it can't be used against you. But if you refuse to answer questions in a civil case, you can lose that civil case. They assume that by pleading the Fifth, that means that you're guilty. And indeed, Donald Trump famously said of one of the people that they were prosecuting under Obama or Hillary Clinton or whatever, they plead the Fifth, therefore they're guilty. So Donald Trump could plead the Fifth. That's option two. Option three is the one that almost certainly he will do. He'll claim that as president of the United States, he doesn't have to answer these questions. He gets a special privilege. And there's, if we take out this president, there is a force of argument there. The president is very busy. You can't have a president that's being sued with 100 lawsuits and has to answer every single one of them. The president's got to run the country. That's an argument. I guess it's a legitimate argument. But when Bill Clinton brought up that argument in the Paula Jones case, it was rejected 9-0 by the United States Supreme Court. They said you do have to answer. So this is settled law. It's not even a close question. It's not even a 5-4 decision that might be overturned. It is settled law. The president has to answer a subpoena in a civil case. If that's true, and it is, how much more important is it that a president answer a subpoena in a criminal case? In a criminal case involving his own behavior? In a criminal case that could lead to impeachment? And remember, whether or not you can indict a sitting president is open law. Can you put a sitting president in jail? We don't know the answer to that. But we do know very clearly under the Constitution, once you impeach and remove a president from office, you can absolutely put him in jail. That's why Gerald Ford had to pardon Richard Nixon. And remember, Richard Nixon also said, I don't want to testify. So his special prosecutor said, I'm going to issue you a grand jury subpoena. And again, if you have to answer a subpoena in a civil case, how much more important is to answer a subpoena in a criminal case? This can't be executive privilege. That's the privilege that the president normally has to talk to his advisors. Nixon's tapes were proclaimed by Richard Nixon to be executive privilege, and the United States Supreme Court ruled 9-0 in United States versus Nixon that you can't hide behind executive privilege when there's a challenge of criminal conduct. Kind of like the crime fraud exception to the attorney-client privilege that we talked about in the first half of the broadcast. So if Robert Mueller issues a grand jury subpoena, it's going to have to be honored. And clearly there's enough evidence here. All you need is probable cause. And there's been incredible amounts of evidence, everything from Don Jr. and Paul Manafort meeting with the woman who now admits she was a Russian spy, to the connections with WikiLeaks trying to get data, collude with the Russians to get data, bad data on Hillary Clinton, combined with the payoffs, the campaign violations, not to mention whatever blackmail Russia has over Donald Trump. There's more than enough information for Robert Mueller to easily get a grand jury subpoena to force the president to testify under oath. And once that happens, he'll have only two options. Well, tell the truth. That's not going to happen. Or plead the Fifth. This is Mark Levine signing off.